Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
You're living in the solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have a very special show on. I met these two people at a conference that I spoke at, and I was really moved by what they do. I see military veterans once a week in my office for problems with hearing loss and ringing. And one of the things that struck me when I was taking their interview and listening to them was everything they've dealt with in terms of PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And I know that from my standpoint, I've referred people for hyperbaric treatment, but I didn't know that there is another really powerful way to support our veterans and to help support them and help them get their quality of life back. And that's with service animals, with service dogs. And I met the owners and founders of Battle Buddies, and they were founded in 2012 by John and Joanne Creed. And speaking with the Creeds, I was really impressed with their dedication and, you know, everything they've done to make the quality of life of various vets better. So I wanted to have them on the show so that they could discuss how they started this. And I think it's the best kept secret, as I was telling them before we started. And I want to welcome you both to the show. I'm really honored to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Now, I said in the intro that Battle Buddy started in 2012, but how did you come to start the business? What drove you? What was the thing that initiated it?
Prior to that, we were actually just volunteering training puppies for people suffering with mobility disabilities. But then our oldest son was in the Army, and John is a disabled veteran. He served in the Marines. We had started meeting a lot of veterans who were suffering with PTSD, and to be honest, we didn't know how widespread the problem was. And John said, you know, this is something we can really do something for. And so we learned how to get trained and specifically training dogs for PTSD and traumatic brain injuries, and that's how it all started.
And you're started in South Carolina, correct?
Yes, we're in South Carolina, Greenville area, and we provide service dogs in South Carolina and North Carolina and some areas of Georgia.
Now, I know that, you know, the brain is a very interesting organ because it can take a lot of, for lack of a better way to put it, abuse and recover. But there's something unique about people who suffer from PTSD where, you know, you just kind of never get out of the feeling of it happening over and over again. I mean, as a veteran, can you give us a bit of a flavor how that affected you or how it's affecting you now from serving, from being discharged, and how you make that transition to civilian life?
Well, it can be very difficult because there's a lot of triggers that are out there, that different smells, different things you see, mm-hmm. put you back in a certain situation. And what we do is, you know, with the service dogs is, you know, they're trained to pick up on that with the veteran and keep them calm and just bring them back into the now.
And from the standpoint of, is there a specific, any dog can be trained, or is there a specific breed that you find works better?
Well, any dog can be trained for service, but we have found that golden retrievers are the best for this kind of work. They're very loving, they're people pleasers, and they're just very sensitive to the needs of people suffering with PTSD. We have tried other breeds in the beginning, but we've always seemed to feel like golden retrievers have been the best at this kind of work. They just seem to fit naturally into this. So that's why we continue to use them.
We're actually sitting in the middle of four golden retrievers right now.
And we've been able to, through the generosity of a breeder in Atlanta, continue and have a breeding program of our own now, which is really helped be able to increase the amount of puppies we can put into training and the amount of veterans we can help.
How long does it take to train a puppy, and how old should they be when they first start?
We actually start them right at 8 weeks old. That's the best time to get them used to different kinds of sounds and desensitize them to different types of things. We try and socialize them as much as possible. And it takes about 15 months of training before they're actually placed with their veteran.
That's actually a very long time. And how do you get them? Do you have, like, moms and puppies of moms that have already done it? Or are you getting them from Humane Society? How do you get your puppies?
We actually have worked with a wonderful breeder in the Atlanta area the last few years. And this past year, we were able to start our own breeding program. And this year, we're expecting 2 litters in the next couple of months. So that will greatly increase the amount of veterans we'll be able to help with all these puppies.
That's awesome. Now, one thing that you mentioned is that the dog is very able to pick up on cues. Is it verbal, or can they actually sense just energy changes? How does it work?
They definitely, besides the 30 commands, they will know of basic obedience and commands that pertain to PTSD. They are trained to pick up on, they'll be able to alert to nightmares, panic attacks, things like that. We've had dogs that alert to nosebleeds, seizures, certain types of migraines. And we feel that once they're with that veteran, they actually just start to pick up on the change in their heart rate, their blood pressure. Hmm. So the goal is for them to alert before a panic attack comes on, so maybe the veteran can just kind of get out of this situation or take medication sooner. Or in the case of nightmares, if they're not going through that full nightmare, if they're alerting at the very beginning, they're getting more restful sleep. And then we find that their brain injuries actually heal much faster that way.
That's incredible. And yeah. I guess this parallel to that is if the dog can help the veteran calm down and not go through the whole cycle of the PTSD, is there less medication, or are vets taking less medication because of the dog?
Yes, definitely. Although we never recommend them going off their medication when they do get a service dog or not going to counseling. A service dog is another tool to help them cope with PTSD, either with their medication and counseling. And most of our veterans actually have been able to go off medication, we have found, since we started doing this.
That's incredible. I mean, I've done hundreds of interviews, and one of the things that strikes me is when you actually ask the service member what medicines they're taking, and they have this list. I mean, it's just incredible.
Right.
Bags full of medicine. Some of them are repeating what, you know, it's like double doses of different medicines do the same thing. And I was always struck that, are these the same doctors prescribing the medication? Do they know the person is on 3 different variations of the same thing? I mean, this to me is how you get your life back, when you get your stability and your mental capacity to feel again. And actually, I wanted to discuss that, because I think one of the things that I don't like about medication, and I'm a physician, I'm going to say it, it numbs people. I mean, it makes them kind of filter. You know, you're kind of in this little wall between you and society. And I don't think that's a healthy place to be, personally. You're just not able to fully physically and emotionally enjoy, you know, feel. And that's part of what being human is. Would you agree?
Yes, exactly. And if this is just another tool that can help to get that veteran on less medication, then that's a success right there. And that's our goal. And we, like I said, we do find most of our veterans have been able to go off medication completely. Not in every case, but they've either able to lessen the medication quite a bit or go off completely. And the families comment all the time that they can see that change too.
Yeah, I think that it's the human touch, and it's the feeling of being connected again. I think that makes us all human. And the veterans are on the front line, just like doctors, of the suicide rate being just higher than the average and the norm. And I wanted to discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Living the Solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're talking with John and Joanne Creed, the founders of Battle Buddies. And I think what you guys do is absolutely yeoman's work, because the suicide rate amongst veterans has just been, it's heartbreaking. And I don't think people know exactly how devastating this has been to service members. Do you know what the statistics are?
Yes, they currently are at 22 veterans a day commit suicide due to their time in the service. And that is actually devastating.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think there's a time frame, right? It could be a short stint or it could be years in military service. It doesn't matter how long you've been in, does it?
That's exactly right. You know, we have veterans that sometimes they get a delayed reaction. They don't notice their PTSD for years being home, and then others, it's instant when they do come home.
And how do they reach out to you? Because you know that you just cited the statistics. And, you know, one of the things that I've, again, being taken care of vets for the last 15 years, they don't want to let you see them sweat, and they don't want to say that they're hurting. And I try to make my office a safe place so that I'm like, I don't have a dog in the hunt. You can say, tell me anything. I'm not your family member. You can feel free to expound, and it usually opens a floodgate. But how do you get to them? How do you approach them that, hey, this is a different way for you to have support, but you're not like asking for someone's help necessarily, which would sometimes I think make people not want to jump in. Do you find this is a way that they can ask for help but not seem like they're asking for help, if you know what I mean?
Yes. I would say most of the time our applications are initiated by a spouse or a family member for the veteran, because a lot of times it's pride and they just don't want to ask for help. So a lot of times we'll deal with the spouse first and get the application rolling, and then when we meet the veteran for an interview and they'll see how great the dog is when, you know, whatever dog we bring with us to meet with them, they'll start to see how the whole process works. And that's one way. A lot of times it's just from meeting other veterans and seeing the difference. We just had that happen in Colombia where a veteran met another veteran at church, and he noticed how well he was doing since he had a service dog. Mm-hmm. And then he actually just received a dog from us in the fall. So a lot of it is just them seeing other veterans with their dogs and the changes in them.
Well, that must be a really wonderful thing when that you see that light go off in somebody, right?
Yes, it's very exciting. You know, when I think about PTSD and how it affects them after they've traveled, they've been overseas and they've gone through all this, and yet when they come home and they're suffering, they can't do the things that we take for granted, like just running to the store for milk or picking up their kids at school or even just church or a simple game, watching their kids at a game. Those are all things that they cannot even do anymore after everything they've done overseas. So it changes their lives. It just takes away everything. They have no independence. So having the service dog helps them regain their independence and start to enjoy life again, and that's the goal.
Well, I think that's awesome. And from the suicide aspect of it, have you seen just have vets who have gone down that path or thought about it tell you that after they've had their service dog, that's not an issue, that's not an answer anymore?
Absolutely. We've had veterans who have previously tried to commit suicide even more than once or twice and now have their service dog. In some cases, they've gone on to get married, gone back to school, and that's the most rewarding to see all that.
That is. And it's not a medication in the world that gets people that connected. On average, how long does it take, that what you've seen, before you see that sort of switch in their function? How long on average?
We usually see it in the first few months, and then I notice maybe like within a year or so, then they start being able to ease off their medication in most cases. But of course, we always tell them, consult with their doctors and always continue counseling. Take your service dog with you to counseling and still keep talking. And a lot of our veterans we have found that get together without us, and they've all stayed friends, and they keep talking and get together for coffee. And that's a great thing too, because they need that. They need someone to talk to always.
Right. And somebody who understands, I would think.
Yes. That's the goal. We try to have a lot of get togethers where all our veterans can meet up if they're from different areas and compare notes and talk about their dogs, and they have that unique bond. So that's pretty cool to see them get together and talk about all that stuff, all their experiences out with their dogs.
With the PTSD versus the TBI, they're two different injuries, and sometimes they're together. I mean, people can have both. Have you seen, is there a specific symptom of TBI that you find the dogs help the most? I mean, there's depression, there's anxiety, there's, as you said, night terrors, there's, you know, being able to control your mood and your anger. Which, or does it control, does it help all of those?
Well, eventually it helps all of them, but to pinpoint one is very hard to do. It's what the dog picks up on from the veteran, what the veteran's giving off, what kind of pheromones, you know, what the dog's picking up as far as what his anxiety is, whether it's nightmares or a CPAP machine, like, well, I have that problem, falls off my head, and my one dog will come over and lick my face until I wake up and put the thing on. And then she won't leave me alone until I do. And she just, and once I put the machine back on, she'll then go back and lay down. And that's nothing we taught her. It's just something that she picked up on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing that they do that. And every veteran that we talk to that has one of our dogs, they have some sort of a similar story about how the dog alerts them or brings them shoes or, you know, different things like that.
A lot of the TBIs comes a lot of migraines, we found. And several of our dogs will actually alert before the migraines come on. And the veterans have learned that, okay, that's the day I need to stay home and just take it easy. It's best not to go out in public and chance it in case I have a seizure or some kind of balance issue. So that's a physical thing that they're able to pick up on. Some of our veterans have short-term memory loss from their TBIs, and the dog is able to tell, for instance, like they may not remember where they parked their car or where their family is if they use the restroom when they're at a restaurant. The dog will actually do that for them and actually bring them back to the place they need to be. So that's another way that the dog can help with not only PTSD but with the TBI also.
That's really cool. And I think from, I can imagine from the veteran's perspective, the stress of forgetting and not knowing and not, I guess, not letting anybody know, let them see you sweat kind of thing, so you don't outwardly show it, and the dog just takes over, it sounds like, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a natural thing for the dog to do to pull you towards where your family is or where they're waiting. So that's just another way for them to have more independence, be able to go out and not have that fear of getting lost either.
Wow. And what about things like traveling in airplanes and where there's a group of, you know, lots of people? Because I think I've heard that that's another anxiety promoting event if there's a lot of a crowd and a lot of noise and that sort of thing. Is that something that the dog it helps them navigate?
Yes, and that's why at 8 weeks or even earlier, we try and get them exposed to as much noise as possible and people and crowds and things like that and people handling them so that the dog is so comfortable in those kinds of situations that it's not going to be that hard for the veteran when they are out. So we have our veterans travel on planes, long car rides, things like that. And that's another nice thing to see where they're able to go on vacations again. They don't have to worry about traveling. And the dog is comfortable, you know, sitting in front of you on an airplane. They're all trained for those type of situations. So it's just really about making the veteran feel comfortable. The dog knows what to do. It's just a matter of the veteran doing it now with him or her.
And how many, I know you've been doing this for quite a while, but how many people do you have in your, how many battle buddies have you I guess, homed, for lack of a way to put it?
At least 10 so far. We've started out small, and now we're able to place 3 dogs a year. But this year, with our 2 litters coming, we'll hopefully be able to double that. But we've just kind of grown a little bit each year and been able to place more and more each year, and that's always been the goal. We're actually in the process of building a training facility, and the veterans would also be able to stay right on site for training. Mm-hmm. And if they ever need to come back after they have their dog, if they're just feeling like they need a break from life and mm-hmm. just need to rest and come with their dog, they'll always have a place to stay on the land with us.
Well, that's really good. I mean, you've got a 360 experience for them, as it sounds like.
Yeah, kind of like a retreat.
Yeah, I like that. Well,
yeah.
Let's take our second break. You're living in the solution.
If you missed the show, you can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and a host of other multimedia platforms.
Welcome back to Living in Solution with Dr. Elena George. We're speaking today with the founders of Battle Buddies. Is there a website that people can go to learn more about what we're speaking about?
Yes, absolutely. It's battlebuddiessc.org, and there's plenty to see on there, and also applications for service dogs for anyone who's interested or just has questions. There's contact info.
And as you said before, we didn't say before, it's free for veterans, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's important. There is no charge to our veterans for their service dogs. We run totally on donations, sponsorships, and fundraisers to be able to provide the service dogs.
And, for example, a sponsorship, how would someone go about doing that? What would they have to do?
We have several people in the past that have sponsored dogs. They're allowed to pick the name of the service dog and kind of follow along how that dog does.
Mm-hmm.
It costs about $7,000 for the dog to be completely trained from when they're born until they're actually placed with the veteran. So sometimes we'll have an individual sponsor or a family or a corporation. And those are great. It's just a really rewarding experience.
That sounds like it. And I'm sure kids would love to get involved naming dogs and following along with their little growth, right?
Yes, it's fun. And we have a lot of families that are also puppy raisers for us that socialize the puppies the first 12 months and go to obedience classes with their dog and come to all our Battle Buddies events. And they do it as a family. And then they return the dog when it's about 13 months old, and we do the final training and place it with the veteran.
Now, you're working in the Carolinas and Georgia and in Florida. Can those families be out of state, like Georgia or Florida, and still be, still participate that way? Or do they have to be in the Carolina area?
We prefer they be in this area just because of training. We're also in the Asheville area.
Mm-hmm.
And all of South Carolina, and then just the upper part of North Carolina because of where we're located. Hopefully, as we keep growing, we'll be able to expand that out further.
Okay. Let's talk about expansion, because what's your goal? Your goal is to go nationwide, isn't it?
At some point, we would love that. Like I said, our first step is that we are building a training facility right now on 6 acres. And the goal is to have all our classes there for our puppy raisers and all training for our veterans and a residence for them. And basically kind of like a retreat type atmosphere where they can come and relax and unwind whenever they need to. And the goal is to be able to place as many puppies with complete training and with passing all their public access testing. And just keep increasing that number because our waiting list is just getting longer. Most places are about a 3-year wait for service dogs, and we're about a year right now.
Well, that's actually ahead of the curve then.
Yeah, it's just sad because I know it's something that's hard to wait for, and
sure.
If we could cut that time down, that would be great. But unfortunately, it is a process to train them for 15 months, but that's something we would like to work on.
Well, that's a good thing to work on. I mean, that's a goal. It's something that will keep you going and being inventive and creative about getting it ramped up as fast as possible.
Yeah.
how do you get the word out to non-veterans? Because I think allies are always important, and having people who either know a vet or are vets or just people who care, I think that could help the situation grow faster, right? So how do you get the word out just to let people know you exist?
Well, we do get a lot of speaking engagements. People contact my wife all the time and to set up appointments, and we'll go speak at different nights that different groups have, you know, their meeting nights, and then we'll have to get up and give a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So by word of mouth and things like that, it gets around.
And also through our fundraisers, that's a great way to involve the community, and we meet so many people that way who spread the word and get it out to corporations for sponsors and things like that.
When's your next fundraiser?
Our actual fundraiser next, and it's our big fundraiser of the year, is in 3 weeks, and it's in Fountain Inn, South Carolina. It's a 1940s swinging soiree, which is kind of like an old World War II type UFO show, and it's just a really fun night for everyone to raise money for our veterans. It's like a 1940s big band, Andrew Sisters. All the food in the bar is all 1940s. We also have a silent auction. And it's just a really fun night, and all our veterans are there with their service dogs, and it's just a great way for everyone to meet up and raise money for our veterans.
And is there a website to go to so people want to buy tickets, or if they can't, they can still support it?
Yes, absolutely. If you go to Battle Buddies SC, there is a ticket link on there to buy tickets. And if you want to get a whole table of friends together, your eighth ticket is free. If you do a table of eight, you pay for seven, and one's free. We have a lot of people just do tables together.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have the Greenville Lindy Hoppers dance, and it's just a really fun night for everyone.
It does sound like a lot of fun. And to have the dogs and the vets there too, that's like a real bonus. So you can actually meet people and talk to them and actually get a first-hand view of how it's changed their quality of life, right?
Yes, it's fun, and it's fun for all our veterans to get back together to see each other and how they're all doing. And also Quilt of Valor comes to present quilts to some of our veterans that night in a ceremony, and it's really beautiful.
Wow. I mean, I just can imagine going from feeling just kind of removed and like you're alone to the absolute opposite, having support, having your network of people who not only have gone through it with you, but people who are their loved ones who are all supporting. That must be such an emotional turnaround from thinking that you're the only one and that no one understands it to everybody around you understanding it. I mean, what is the I mean, it's kind of a weird question, but what have you seen in terms of that reintroduction from being a soldier to being back as a member of the community?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see the change. Sometimes when we first meet the veteran for the first interview, they're so distraught or depressed they can't look at you, and then to see them thrive now and be out with their families is it's very rewarding. It makes us cry a lot. We had a veteran who barely left the house, and then last week he was at an event with us at a school and ended up speaking in front of 1,000 kids.
Oh, wow.
And I never thought I'd see it. And he said, "You got to take a picture for my wife. She'll never believe this." And it's true. I mean, and the thing is with these veterans having their service dog in common now, they have that camaraderie back that they had when they were in the service.
Mm-hmm.
So they're part of another group now where they don't always feel like that when they come home and they're not doing the job they used to do, or they're not able to work, and they're not part of that unit they were when they were serving. So now they're part of another unit. They're part of the Battle Buddies family, and it's great to see them all keep in touch and be part of something. And the greatest thing is so many of our success stories are now giving back to the new veterans that come in and are just getting dogs, and they're able to help them and give back, and that's really cool to see too.
you know, I can imagine it's a different, as you said, a camaraderie. You go from the heart-wrenching thing that brings mm-hmm. you together to independence and good quality of life and happiness, which brings you together. That's a whole different support
right.
group, isn't it?
Right. And, you know, it's like they tell us all the time, you know, I used to be in Afghanistan shooting at people, mm-hmm. and now I sit home and I can't work, and I'm, you know, the highlight of my day is just running out to the store. And it's hard. It's a hard adjustment. But I have to say, every single one of our veterans always says the same thing. They would do it all again for their country. And they all, I've never had one not say that. And it's amazing. And so it's kind of nice that they can have another type of unit through Battle Buddies.
Agreed. And it's a positive. And I can imagine how that trickles through the family, because the family serves too, don't they? So to have your loved one in pain, but then not be able to express it to you, I mean, that's just like a double whammy.
Yeah, it's really hard on the family and the spouses to have to deal with this, and the kids. And, you know, I just interviewed for a video one of our veterans' little girls, and they said their dog just makes their dad happy again, and they love their dog for that. So the kids, even kids as young as 8, definitely see the difference in their dad, and or their mom. But it's just amazing to see the success with a service dog.
I mean, for someone who doesn't know, you know, I guess people, it seems like such a small thing to have a dog that can be in tune and just one of those unconditional relationships, right? But to have that, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's true. A dog just loves you unconditionally. Yeah. No matter if you're having that bad day and you can't get out of bed or you want to go places, and they're ready to go with you every second of the day. And that's what's important. You know, that's why we call them Battle Buddies, because my oldest son who was serving actually came up with the name when we started this, because he said, Mom, your Battle Buddy is always with you in battle. And it was true, and that's where we came up with the name. They never leave your side, and they're always there to look out for you, and it was a perfect name for this organization.
I think I couldn't have said it better. I think it just describes exactly what you do and what the dogs do. From a work perspective, I know that, you know, people can be injured and they can't work, but are you seeing a cohort of the vets who, because now they have independence and they feel self-confident, that they're actually able to get jobs where before that may not have been the case, just based on their willingness to reach out and to be secure in stepping out and doing things that's not military related?
Yes, we have several that are able to either go back to work, or we actually had one who just was able to get her master's degree in psychology, and her dog is going to her graduation in California. So that's been amazing, just to see them be able to work and be able to even go back to school for them, or looking for, one's going to real estate school now. So unless they have a serious TBI where they're not allowed to work, many of our veterans are able to go back to work now or school.
Well, you know, we have to take our next break, but when we come back, I'd like to ask about how the VA, or if the VA is at all involved, or do they know what you're doing? Because it's something that they do need to know about, because this is something that's positive for the entire country, not just an individual. On that note, let's take our last break. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. We're speaking with the founders of Battle Buddies, John and Joanne Creed. And before the break, I was just curious to know if the VA is aware of your program, and if they are, have they reached out, and are you working at all with them, or is it just private?
Yes, actually, the VA in Columbia and the VA in Asheville actually refers veterans to us, which is great. And they're very accommodating of our veterans that have dogs already when they come up there. And we actually have some veterans that actually work at both VAs that have service dogs.
Okay.
And there is a new law that's just been passed where the VA is going to start giving grants to organizations, that do provide service dogs at no charge. And that is something, that just went through in the last 2 weeks, I believe, and we will be applying to be on that list. And I think, we've noticed the VAs are definitely increasing their interest in using more natural types of therapies along with counseling like acupuncture, CBD oils, things like that. And so they seem to really be understanding the power of service dogs. And I know the VAs that we've visited with veterans are definitely on board with this now.
That's a great, great thing. Because the VA seems like a huge ship that is rarely, it's like you have to do everything to turn it. And they're finally getting
yes.
it. Thank God.
Yes. Yeah, we've definitely noticed they're definitely more interested in just giving out medication. The support groups they have now, and they use acupuncture, a lot of new things that even we're learning from my husband's injuries. And I think that's great that they're offering a more widespread, and they're not just focusing on pushing medication anymore. That's a great thing.
That's a great thing, definitely. I mean, from a healthcare perspective, I wish the rest of healthcare medicine would learn, would be more open
yep.
to that. Because we've gone,
yeah.
we've come full circle. I really think the medication, it has a reason to be there. But it's not one size fits all. And not everybody needs it. And if we could just be individual in our treatment towards whatever ailment that is, whether that is PTSD or TBI, I think we would serve a lot more people. And I think the body's self-healing if you get out of the way, and the brain is extremely powerful. And people
yeah.
all want the same thing, right? We want to be independent. We want to have a sense of purpose. We want to be able to have relationships that mean something. And if we can, if the dogs are the first line of opening that door, that's a powerful, powerful tool.
Yes, and I truly believe when your spirits are better and your mind is better and you get more rest, your brain heals, and that lifts your depression also. So I think it's kind of a big circle of, you know, nightmares, less sleep, and affecting you physically. And I think when you can stop that cycle, we definitely notice a big difference.
I would agree. I mean, the body heals when you're resting and when you get deep, good quality sleep. I can't imagine.
And when you're happier.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. When you're getting out, your fresh air, I think it makes all the difference.
Yeah, mind and body are connected. I don't think there's any question about that. And
yeah.
not living in a negative and painful past, because the brain, it's almost like it's in a rut. Can't get out of it until
exactly.
it like gets jump-started out of it. And you have to have something positive to go to. Otherwise, you're kind
right.
of stuck in where you are. It's almost like it, I wouldn't say it's comfortable, but it's something that it becomes a routine. You've got to break it.
Right. And a lot of the veterans, when they feel better and they start giving back to the other veterans, that's also just another healing part of this whole thing that makes them feel better.
I'm not surprised, because that's really one of the things, the hallmarks of being a vet, isn't it? Is that
yeah.
brotherhood, sisterhood, the camaraderie, the support for each other. Now you get to help your buddy out of something that's traumatic. That must be, it gives you a sense of purpose, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I love that our veterans are always willing to give back. And they've come to all our events. They'll come with us to speak at schools, all different things we do. And we just love it that they're there with us.
Well, yeah, this is a side question, because especially from a school perspective, I think the children are a little different than we were growing up. And empathy and compassion are two things that I don't think is in a large quantity in our society right now. Do you think when the children actually get to meet the vets and hear the story, see the dogs, that it actually opens up that path for them to think of things bigger than themselves and how other people feel and have compassion?
Definitely. We just actually spent a week at a high school last week doing a big Spirit Week fundraiser, and I could not get over how respectful these students were to our veterans and just kept coming up and thanking them for their service. And really enjoyed the dogs. And at one point, one of our veterans was speaking, and all the kids stood up and were screaming, USA, USA.
Oh, wow.
And it brought everyone to tears. And I just, you know, I just was so impressed with these high school kids and how hard they worked for Battle Buddies that week for an event. And they just really appreciated our veterans. So we love speaking at high schools and different schools to get the word out. And just hope that they learn to appreciate the veterans and everything they've done for them.
I hope so, too, because I think that's part of what holds society together, you know, that respect and someone sacrificing for all of us and not denigrating that but celebrating that.
Right.
Well, you need to go to a lot more schools in the United States.
We're trying. We do a lot of, like, career day things, which is really fun, too, and the dogs love it. So, yeah, we're trying. That's the word.
Well, no, you guys are doing what you got to do. It's a blessing
you.
To have you on. What about college level? Do you do anything from that standpoint?
We do speak at different schools, but one thing that we are going to be implementing soon is a puppy raising program at Clemson University with veterinary students.
Hmm.
And that's kind of been a dream of mine for a long time, is to involve college students in our program raising puppies for the veterans. And it's actually something that looks like it's going to be implemented this year.
That's great.
So that's
news.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Wow.
So,
well, I mean, you got to come to Georgia, too, and have, you know, expand that.
We would love to. Anytime.
Well, I know we have a few couple minutes left. I just want to make sure that people know, again, what website can they go to learn about what you do?
Our website is, battlebuddiessc.org, and you can get all information about our veterans. There's a great video on there with our veterans talking about what the service dogs mean to them, their battle buddies. And there's always information about our past events and any fundraisers that are coming up, especially the March one. And if there's a veteran listening that needs a service dog in that area that we are able to work with, we will be happy to send you an application.
And if you want just to donate, can you also donate from that website?
Yes, there's actually a donate button right on the website, and that goes right to Battle Buddies.
Okay, cool. And
we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, got to do that. And I thought you're having the big fundraiser, but again, if you can't make the fundraiser, can you still just donate as if,
yes.
You know? Okay, how would you... What do you need to do to do that?
If you go to the link for the fundraiser, there's actually, instead of purchasing tickets, there's actually a button that says if you can't make it and would like to donate towards the event, there's a button to click for that also.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. So, that'll be fun. And we'd love to have as many people there as possible, our veterans.
Yeah. Again, tell us when the date is again.
It's March 7th. It's a Saturday night at 6 p.m., and it's at the Fountain Inn Activity Center in Fountain Inn, South Carolina.
Well, once again, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. I really just respect, I cannot tell you how much what you do, because it's one of the things that when I treat a vet, when I'm listening to their story, it talk about compassion and empathy. It just happens. And now there's a way not to just have empathy, but with a compassionate empathy with action, right? So this is a way to actually help somebody. You can empathize, you can listen, and you can feel for them, but now you can help them rejoin society as productive, happy members, get their life back after spending and sacrificing for us. Personally, I think that's the least we can do.
Absolutely. That's what we always say. This is the least of what we can do for these veterans who gave so much for us.
Agreed. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. God bless everything you do, and I'm behind you 100%.
Thank you. It was an honor to be on with you.
Have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening to Living in the Solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.